behind. I looked across and there I saw Billy, waiting to go and join the line. And with her head upon his shoulder, his young and lovely fiance, from where I stood I saw she was crying.
And joining us right now is Bo Donaldson from Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods on PMP Network. Bo, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you. Let's talk a little bit about the Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods, because I mentioned that and people say, well, Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods, and I'll say, Billy, don't be, yeah. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about life with Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods before that song. I know you were doing a lot of touring, even well before that hit.
Well, before Billy Don't Be a Hero, we were actually predominantly touring as the opening act for the Osmonds. We had signed ABC Records, and we had released our first 45, Deeper and Deeper. And we were actually on tour, working on some other songs to record, and we got back in town. And that's when life changed with Billy.
Well, let's talk about before. I know you were with the Osmonds. You did a stint with them. You did the Dick Clark American Bandstand thing and Action 73 on TV. So you guys were, you were doing a lot of touring even before that with people like the Rascals and Paul Revere and the Raiders, the Box Tops, Grassroots, Hermit. So people actually heard your music before it actually came out, right?
Correct.
And so tell us exactly what happened when that song became such a massive hit.
It was so quick, we didn't even realize it would be that fast, because usually it takes a time for a record to hit the stations and for the stations to listen to it and decide, hey, are we going to do this or not? And things changed drastically. In fact, we had already booked a performance at Busch Gardens in Van Nuys, California prior to all this, and here we are, June 1974, performing at Busch Gardens with a number one hit.
Now, the only problem, of course, of having a number one hit is that you want to keep having number one hits after that. Was it a problem after selling more than 3 million copies and getting a gold record and all that stuff, getting number one for 2 weeks, to try to replicate that great feat?
That's what happened with Who Do You Think You Are, the follow-up, because Billy was so huge. Plus, they released Who Do You Think You Are probably a little bit too fast. So, that does create a kind of a high plateau to hit again.
Now, Who Do You Think You Are is such an irresistible pop song, too, like the perfect little pop song.
Yes. It's actually one of Neil Sedaka's favorite tunes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about the songwriting part of the thing. Who wrote Billy Don't Be a Hero and Who Do You Think You Are and some of the other songs the group made?
Well, Who Do You Think You Are was actually written by two gentlemen who wrote Sky High.
Hmm.
Clive Scott and Des Dyer.
Hmm.
For Jigsaw. And Billy Don't Be a Hero was written by Mitch Murray and Peter Callender. They wrote, they had been writing songs since the 60s. Primrose Lane, they wrote How Do I Like It, The Legend of Bonnie and Clyde, The Night Chicago Died, just a string of hits.
Yeah.
Great songwriters.
Was that their biggest hit, though?
I would think Billy probably was.
Yeah, I know that the night Chicago Died by Paper Lace was a big hit, too.
I was actually at a ZZ Top concert down in Anaheim, probably mid-70s, and I met somebody that knew the writers, and they said Billy sold so much, they had to move from England to Holland that escaped the taxes.
That's right. Back then, England, the taxes were about 90%.
So it must have been the biggest seller for them to move countries.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot. It's interesting that you, I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because people who write songs, they make most of the money. A lot of the performers, I've had a lot of performers on here who sold millions and millions of records and really didn't make much money because they didn't own the rights to it because they didn't write the songs.
Correct.
I noticed that you did write some of the songs as a group, but not too many.
Not too many. We're busy just, I like to pick songwriters and songs. We did write I Wish I Could, that's on the CD.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually a TV theme for a Dick Clark special.
All right, Special Someone, right?
No, I Wish I Could.
Yeah, no, but it's just from the album Special Someone.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You really know our stuff.
Yeah. But, that's the only song I could even think of offhand that you guys wrote.
Yeah.
But if you look around, there's some, you had some great songwriters that you covered. You guys covered Neil Sedaka, you covered Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil, and
mm-hmm.
some of the big writers at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But was there a time that you guys wanted to write your own music and wanted to get more into that, or were you just happy to get the best of the songwriters out there?
I was just happy to get the best of the songwriters.
Mm. When this is all happening, now we're going to be talking to Tommy James at some point soon.
Oh, yeah. We've done a couple of shows with him the past couple of years.
And he talks about the fact that he made no money, and one of the reasons why is because the underworld owned his label. did you guys get paid fairly during all this huge money that was being made by ABC?
ABC, yes. Prior, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
I agree with Tommy.
When Billy came out, did you guys start making some big money?
Oh, yeah. All the royalty checks and everything. On the back of the CD, you can see a picture of us in our nudie suits. That's the first thing we did was go down to North Hollywood, and Nudie was the one who made all the jumpsuits for Elvis, and we blew one of our first royalty checks, or actually maybe even an advance on the royalties for the suits.
Now, I'm saying there's seven people in the group, huh?
Yes.
So that's kind of tough when you're dividing the check by seven.
That's what Dick Clark used to always tell me. I was up to 10 pieces before we narrowed it down to seven.
Wow. Now, the band is named Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods, I assume. Did you put the whole thing together? Were you in charge of it?
Correct.
So did you actually have more of the action than the rest of the band?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
So you were a fear dictator?
No.
Did the band make decisions as a band, or did you make a lot of the decisions?
Pretty much as a group.
Yeah. Most of the time, when I talk to people like yourself, they had somebody that, was a business person or something that actually, or a PR person that actually pushed them and helped them to get to the mainstream. And did you have anybody like that?
That was my mother, B.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Well, in high school, besides having the Haywoods, besides playing keyboards, I also played trumpet, and I was in the high school marching band. And Where the Action Is came into Cincinnati to tape a show, and my mother, being the promoter she was, went down there and actually met Dick Clark for the first time. And that was the start of the whole thing, really. We started from that point traveling with Parbear and the Raiders and the Rascals and all that as an opening act.
Mm-hmm. How did these guys, these big names at the time, treat you, you guys, when you were on the road with them?
Except for the last night with the Rascals, we really didn't associate much with them. But the funniest story about that particular evening, we finished a tour in Florida, I believe it was Miami, and we're all in a room. And we're saying, where is Eddie Brigati? And he was outside, literally walking on a ledge. And we were about, 15 stories up.
Mm.
I just did a show with him in Jackson, Tennessee a year or two ago. And I'm at the airport turning and telling Dennis Trufano from the Buckinghams a story. And out of my other ear, I hear his wife, Eddie's wife, telling Eddie the same story because she knew the other keyboard player was with me at that time, who was went on to join Exile.
Hmm.
And I'm going, that's something.
Did you guys at all, after touring for a while, maybe even in the later years, did you become friends with a lot of these guys that you originally toured with?
Trying to think of all the people that we've toured through the years. Probably, I think you're pretty much traveling separate from the rest of the groups. The only group that we really traveled a lot was with Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Yeah.
We both had buses. And even that, though, they had their bus and we had our bus.
So you and Mac Lindsay didn't hang out together?
No. Even though I just saw Mark at a birthday party a couple months ago down in Florida.
Yeah, Mark and his wife, Debbie, are really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been on the show quite a few times, actually. But
probably in these later years, we talk more and spend more time. In the earlier years, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's interesting to note. It's a pretty close community in terms of the rock acts that are out there. Has anybody ever tried to steal the Haywood's name? I know that it happens to all these bands all the time.
Well, that was one of the reasons why my mother thought Bo Donaldson, the Haywoods, it'd be more difficult for somebody to steal the name.
Yeah.
But yeah, it happens. Well, that's why the Truth in Music Act is so huge now.
And it should be. I mean, we've had people on from the Drifters and the, you know, some of these other older bands that really got ripped off, the Platters, where there's people traveling as them for years with no association at all with the band because people bought the trademark.
Well, there's still people till today. I'm looking at a list of what we've been doing the past 10 years or so, is besides doing our own music, backing up other artists from the 60s and 70s. Excuse me. And the first name on the list is actually a gentleman who has a group, and somebody took pictures with him and claimed he was in the group and took him to court for the rights, and he actually owns the rights for the name in the Midwest.
Which name is that?
Bay City Rollers.
Oh, okay. Well, if he wants to brag about that, then he's welcome to try to get eggs thrown at him wherever he goes. But, yeah, everybody can go S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y and then go home, I think. That's my own opinion on that particular band, but
well, you know, I laugh and I tend to agree with you, Mark. But like past couple of years, we've been running around doing a show called Original Idols, and it was with Barry Williams, Greg Brady, and the Cowsills, Leif Garrett. We could talk hours about that, and with Ian Mitchell from the Bay City Rollers. And it's funny you mentioned Saturday Night, and that's predominantly the only song they're known for. And when we first started doing the concerts a couple years ago, I had to learn the keyboard parts for all these other, you know, tunes, and I was surprised on some of the other songs that I never heard of before.
Did you like them?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There you go.
Money Honey, you know, and some of the other tunes.
So Leif Garrett's got his name in the paper recently. what do you think about all this stuff?
You know, geez, he still has a lot of talent. We were on the road doing the Original Idols, and I asked him about the last time this happened, and he kind of had his take on it, you know, how they approached him on that same scenario, actually, the subway platform in L.A., and at he was just, you know, walking past them, and they came back. And my take is that he has a lot of talent, a lot of charisma. He's a lost soul.
Hmm.
Hopefully this will straighten him up. When he walked in rehearsal the first time when we tried to do Runaround Sue and some of the covers he did, it was real hit and miss. But when he started singing I Was Made for Dancing, it was just magical. We all looked at each other in the band and went, wow. That's what. And the funny thing was actually a week ago, I was just listening to that song on the radio, and I was saying, when I was driving, hey, you know, it's a shame he just can't straighten out.
It is a shame, because there's only so many times you can say, well, maybe this time he'll learn his lesson, because he's had that lesson quite a few times.
I know.
But, I mean, that's there's pitfalls on the road, and many bands, some of the members fall to them. Did it ever get it to you at any point?
Not really, because my mother was traveling with us, and
yeah, that puts it into that party.
Concerts with the Osmonds, so and that's the thing. Even with Dick Clark, he knew he could rely on us.
Yeah, well, see, there you go. There's the way to. If you want to avoid drugs and controversy, travel with the Osmonds and your mother.
Exactly.
There you go. That's the key.
And it is the grind. Like, we were traveling with the Rascals. We would drive 500 miles, then do the concert, drive another 500 miles. You really didn't have time.
Yeah,
you really did.
I guess that's true. Yeah. Out of all the songs that you guys do, do you ever get sick of any of them, or do you still love them to this day?
Still love them. I mean, without them, I wouldn't, you know, be doing what I'm doing now, so.
Yeah. Do you still do a lot of touring? I noticed on the website, your website, I guess, is not up to date because there's nothing on there about where you guys are going and stuff like that. But I assume you guys are touring.
Funny you would say that. I had somebody steal my website, talking about stealing names. They don't steal names anymore. They steal websites.
Uh-huh.
So I had to change it to BoDonaldson.net.
Right. That's the one I'm on right now, at BoDonaldson.net.
That's the process of updating it.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not updated. So, because we're going to give that out to people. We're going to put the link up with this interview to that site. But it's not really updated too well.
Beginning of the summer, it's just when things start picking up. We just did a private party that wasn't listed on it with Ron Dante of the Archies last Saturday. Probably if I'm closest to anybody, it's probably Ron.
Ron's great. He's been on the show a couple of times, and what a talented guy. A lot of people don't realize all the great songs he sang.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Or produced.
Yeah, him and there's another guy, too, that I had on the show that sang for, like, four bands.
Tony Burrows?
What's that?
Tony Burrows?
Tony, yeah. Yeah, Tony, yeah.
Yeah, worked with Tony.
Yeah, Tony did, like, White Plains. He recorded under all these different names.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fascinating to hear what he had, like, three songs on the charts at the same time, and they were all by different bands.
And you know what the connection between him and us? He was actually one of the vocals on the dub for Billy Don't Be Hero.
Really?
Yes.
That's funny. You know, we talked about ABC Records, but before that, you guys recorded a bunch of songs on Queen Bee, on Republic Records, on Family Productions.
Correct.
There was a few different labels. Those labels re-release all the stuff after Billy Don't Be a Hero, or did they sell it over to ABC? What happened with that stuff?
Well, no. Absolutely no. I paused because the one song we did was on Playboy Records, and I'm not even sure who owns that.
That was Give Me Some Time you did on that Playboy Records, yeah. But you guys did some good covers. I mean, you did Is It Any Wonder with Dale Wright,
mm-hmm.
and Season of the Witch, that was on Queen Records. And there's one I never heard of. You did a Christmas single, Silver Bells and Pee Wee the Christmas Tree.
I'll have to send that to you.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that one.
Pee-wee the Christmas Tree was written by some friends of ours in Cincinnati, and it's actually only 69 seconds long. It's a very short song, and it's kind of like a child's Christmas song.
Well, maybe you should re-release that for Christmas.
Like, it's a real German-type oompa, pee-wee, Christmas tree, that type of thing.
Uh-huh. Now, see, for folks out there who are now dying to buy a Bo Donaldson CD, The Best of Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods is out, and it has 15 songs in it. It's from Verise Vintage, I believe.
Yes.
Verise Sarah Ben, and it is available all over the web. I'm sure can they get it at BoDonaldson.net?
Correct.
Good. Maybe they can get it an autographed copy. I don't know. But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. But this one does not have on it, though, some of those songs we just mentioned from the other labels.
Well, when they put this CD together, it was primarily songs from Billy Don't Be a Hero. It was some of the singles we did, House on Telegraph Hill.
The Heartbreak Kid.
The Heartbreak Kid, yeah.
Yep.
And then it included a couple songs from the Special Someone album.
Right.
Because those were the tunes that were owned by MCA.
And then our last song together, which was never on an album before.
Correct.
Yeah, that was another Neil Sedaka tune.
Well, that's a funny story. Actually, one of our publicists knew Howard. And we got probably four or five dubs of songs to listen to. And I got them, I listened to them, and I brought them to Steve Berry, our producer, and I played them for Steve, and I said, this is going to be the hit. And he said, no, our last song together would be the hit. You know what the song he passed on? Love Will Keep Us Together.
You're kidding. Wow. Do you think it would have been as big a hit, though, if it was recorded by Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods?
That's what everybody, every time I tell a story, that's the answer everybody gives me, Mark. You go like, yeah.
Well, you know, it's so identified with Captain and Tennille, you know?
But it was originally sang by Neil.
Yeah, that's true.
So, what, you know?
Hey, you never know. I mean, you know, Billy Don't Be a Hero now. I say, oh, could anybody but Bo Donaldson have done that song? Well, who knows? Maybe.
It's funny, yeah.
I don't know. Were there other songs that you guys that were passed to you and then you guys didn't record that you said, oh boy, I should have done that later on?
Well, funny you would say that. When we first came out here in 72 from Cincinnati, some of the earliest gigs we did was fundraisers for United Appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one show, I can't remember the reason why, we couldn't do it, and Sonny Geraci did it with Climax.
Ah, Precious and Few.
So I brought a little cassette player,
yep,
and I taped the show, and there was two songs he did that night. One was called If It Feels Good, Do It, that we actually put on one of our albums, and then also Rock and Roll Heaven.
Oh, wow.
I heard that song, and I thought, you know, it just needs to be changed up a little bit. And I said, first time I heard that, I went, this is a smash.
Yep. And it was. The Righteous Brothers took it.
Yep.
Yep. But you'd mentioned Sonny Geraci, and of course he did Precious in View by Climax, but also Time Won't Let Me by The Outsiders as well.
Correct.
So he was also a very interesting guest too, because it's interesting when you can you know, hit up a top hit with two different bands or three different bands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always an interesting thing. So you're on the road still at this point. Anything new? Do you guys ever record any new music?
Yes, we did a new song. I'm starting to write and record. Do you listen to any of the new punk type stuff?
No, I'm not really a punk kind of guy.
I'm not either, but there's a great band I love from Sweden called The Hives.
Okay.
In silence. So The Hives remind me of the 60s. They all dress in the same white suits. They have matching equipment. The singer, the first time I saw him perform in L.A., reminded me of Mick Jagger. Last time was a little more Roger Daltrey type thing, but still a lot Mick Jagger. Just the very heavily 60s influence. So from Sweden, I just love these guys.
The Hives.
The Hives, yeah.
Okay.
I'm a little plug for them.
Okay.
But we've written a song similar to that, and it's called It Only Hurts When I Breathe.
It only hurts when I breathe. I like that. Catchy. So when are you going to release that?
It's in the can. We'll probably pop it up on iTunes.
Yeah.
That seems like to be the best thing to do anymore.
Yeah, and put it on your website, too, so people can hear it.
Prior to that, we did an album with Ron Dante, Archie's Christmas album last year.
I didn't hear that one. That one got by me. I'm surprised no one sent it over here.
Ron, send you a copy.
Archie's Christmas tree. That would be a good one. I like that. You can send that when you send the other one of the Pee-wee the Christmas tree.
Okay.
I look forward to hearing that one. Sounds like got a hit written all over it. But now, folks out there can go to bodonaldson.net and get all the information about what's going on. And I hope that we get a chance to see you. You're gonna be coming to the Northeast, to Boston, anytime on a tour?
Well, we're talking about coming to New York January next year.
Mm.
Actually, with Ron Dante and Sonny.
That would be a great show. Think of all the songs you guys can cover together.
Yep.
Yeah, that you know. Let's talk about that for a minute. The songs, because I always tell people on the air here that you know the late '60s to me, the mid to late '60s and early '70s were the best music ever produced. And people sometimes argue to say, "Well, it's just your age. That's the reason why you say
no,
that."
No, that's all I listen to on satellite. '60s, '70s. I drive everybody nuts.
Well, that's what I listen to, it, and some of the kids.
You always look back. You always do this. But it's the best music.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it was me, because, I mean, even the young generation now is listening to music of the 60s and 70s.
Oh, yeah.
It stands up to time.
It does. It will forever.
Yeah, I don't think Lady Gaga will be listened to in 50 years with the enthusiasm that the Beatles are. You know?
Oh, I know.
But it is interesting, though, because, you know, I have some of my kids, I have two teenagers, you know, who think that 50 Cent and some of these other people, they're, you know, they're going to be listened to in 40, 50 years. I think 50 cents will be worth 10 cents at that point. You know.
I can agree with you. That's why I'm chuckling.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Well, Bo, I really appreciate talking to you.
Well, it's a pleasure.
And I hope to speak with you when the new song comes out.
Great.
And I look forward to getting my Christmas music.
I will, and hope to see you up in the area.
All right. You take care of yourself.
Okay, thanks.
Bo Donaldson with Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods, right? PNP Network.